Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's take out our notes. My message today is very simple. It's one request. And here it is. Today, I want us to think about the good news. It's in the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, an excerpt will be taken out, the announcement of the angel. And let's hear what the angel says. It's at the top of your notes. Let's read it together out loud. Would you with me? Go. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, the first thing the angel said is what? Do not fear. Yeah, right there. Do you know that fear is a horrible thing? When you're afraid of what people think, when you're afraid that you won't have enough, when you're afraid of whether people are going to stay committed or not, when you're afraid of whatever it might be, you make wrong decisions, you become defensive, and you lose confidence. The very first thing the angel says is, do not be, and he says that to us. How many times in the gospel Jesus shows up and says, peace, don't be afraid, fear not. Again and again, because the people of God are prone to be afraid. So he says, don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. Say that. Good news of great joy, which is for all people. Now here's what he's going to say. He's going to say this message. Don't be afraid. And you'll need to be carriers of the good news of that brings great joy, and it's for how many people? All the people. I want to talk to you about being permission givers today. Don't be afraid. Be a permission giver. For what? A few days ago, I was in the elevator, and a lady came in. When the doors opened, she looked up, and she said, "Oh, Pastor Wayne, you know, can I just tell you, I was just praying." I said, "You were?" She said, "Yes, I was driving down the road and a red light came on in my car and I started praying." I said, "So what did you do?" She said, "Oh, there was a dealer that I bought the car from. I whipped right in there." And I said, "And what happened?" She said, "Well, I said to the service manager, a light came on, look," and I showed it to him. And he said, "Well, that's a common problem. We'll fix it." She said, "Great." And then she said, "Boy, did I start to pray." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because I don't have the money. Because those things cost a lot." I said, "Really? Well, let me tell you." She said, "I was praying and the manager came back and said, it's fixed." She said, "Great. How much was it?" He said, $3. She said, "I'll pay for that cash." I laughed and I said, "Yay, ding," door open. She said, "God bless you. Merry Christmas." I said, "Merry Christmas." And the door closed and I thought, for some reason, when she saw me, she was given permission to speak candidly about praying, candidly about God answering prayer. You understand? Let me ask you, when people see you, is there some kind of permission that allows them to speak spontaneously about God? There should. Because if the church isn't a permission-giving body of people that gives people permission to pray, permission to speak about God, permission to glorify God, if we don't give it to people, nobody's going to. Why? Well, we live in a permission-squashing society. They're taking away permission to speak candidly about God or spontaneously. You can't even sing at graduation, "Friends are friends forever. If the Lord's the Lord of them." Well, you said the Lord, that's it. Can't say, sing that. We are squashing permission. Did you hear recently about the patriarch of Duck Dynasty? Phil Robertson, over in a GQ magazine interview, not A&E, which is their sponsor of the Duck Dynasty, but over here in GQ, they asked him, "What do you think about the gay marriage and homosexuality?" And he just said, in 1 Corinthians, it says, and he could have filtered it a little bit better. It wasn't the nicest, but he's, you know, a duck hunter. So he talks like that, you know. But A&E heard about it, not what he said on the show, but what he said at an interview in another place at another time, and they banned this multi-million dollar show because they said, we don't like you talking like that. I thought, wait a minute, what happened to free speech? What happened about just sharing? Over here, it wasn't there. Yeah, but if you're here, we censure your life. You can't, we don't give you permission. My. We live in a permission-squashing society. Did you hear recently ESPN was given a commercial by a children's hospital, a Catholic children's hospital? They refused to air it. And what's worse, the Catholics, when they heard that they wouldn't air it because they had some religious mentioning about God in it, they took it all out. Let me read to you the original that was refused. Now, this is, remember, a children's hospital, Catholic children's hospital. Let me read you the whole thing. The narrator is unidentified, just a voice, shows the children, and the voice says this: each Christmas, thousands in our community send messages of hope to our injured children, our sick children, who are not able to go home for the holidays. At Cardinal Glennon, that's the name of it, Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and the season of bringing hope to many children. Our patients are filled with hope when they receive your message each day as they take them out of the treasure chest beneath what we call our tree of hope. Help us reveal God's healing presence this Christmas. So send your message of hope today. ESPN said, we are not going to air it because it said Jesus Christ in there. Now, O'Reilly, I don't know if you know Bill O'Reilly. He's a codger. He's on a talk show, and he's funny. He says, ESPN, where's your beef? Does this birth of Jesus offend you? Have you not heard of the federal holiday we celebrate in the U.S. every year? I have another beef, he said. The medical center folded and submitted another commercial without any religious reference. So, ESPN, you're going to get your money anyway, huh? But why on earth did the hospital cave? Don't you people realize that you've been insulted and your faith has been demeaned? Don't you get that? And if an ad for a Catholic children's hospital offends you because it mentions the birth of Jesus, then you're a loon. Write it down. You're a loon. I don't know what a loon is, but that's funny. You know, I thought, that's cool. Yeah, what he's saying is we live in a society that's a permission-stealing society. And folks, guess what? This church and every church is the last bastion of hope to give permission to people to celebrate Jesus. We're the last bastion of hope that gives one another permission to speak candidly about God, to love God more, to glorify God. Because if we don't, and the church doesn't, who is? None. I want you to give permission. Let me tell you how I received permission from an elderly gentleman to get back to Jesus. At the beginning of the ministry, I was studying leadership a great deal. Leadership of systems analysis and strategic leadership systems in place and about best practices. And I was going to speak to a church because they were having some problems. I flew in, and someone that I knew from the past picked me up, an elderly gentleman that just loves Jesus. I mean, just oozes out of him. He picked me up driving to the church, and I was talking about leadership, strategic systems, and best practices. And so I said to him, I said, what do you think about the problems at the church? And without batting an eye, he just kept looking forward and he said, Jesus, what do you think about that? Because your opinion is more important than all. And I thought, did you pick up Jesus? Maybe he was hitchhiking on the road and he picked him up. I'm looking around the car, heebie-jeebies all I think. And then I realized what he was doing was he was speaking to Christ just as if he were indeed there, because he was. And all of a sudden, when he turned to me and said, what do you think, Wayne, really? I didn't want to talk about leadership, strategic systems, and best practices. You know what he did? He gave me permission to get back to Jesus. He gave me permission to restore an authentic relationship with Jesus and don't get involved with a bunch of hullabaloo. Because it's his opinion that counts the most. Because he's the center of our life. Permission giving. We all need to be people who do that. with one another. Well, you say, Wayne, how do we do that? Because it's so true. We've got to give permission. Because even as the angel said, don't be afraid, because you've got good news of great joy for all people. Jesus is born. And we're the messengers of that hope. And if we don't give permission to one another to love Jesus, to be able to pray, speak candidly, speak spontaneously about Christ, get back to your authentic relationship with Jesus again. If we're not giving each other permission for that, then who's going to do it? The church is the last bastion of hope. And we need to be the church in all her glory. So how do you do that? Would you write down very simple, number one, and you got to work really, 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 really hard to keep the good news, good news. Because sometimes we as Christians can make the good news what? Bad news. You're going to burn in hell if you do that. Okay. Keep the good news, good news. I was grumbling once about something, and an old pastor friend of mine was listening to me, and he said, Wayne, I learned about balance long ago. I said, really? Because I'm struggling with it right now. He said, yeah. I said, how do you learn that? What do? He said, real simple. Don't preach nothing up but Jesus and nothing down but the devil. And you'll be okay. He gave me permission to rethink and settle in. He didn't condemn me, just gave me permission. Everything that we do needs to give people motivation to love. In fact, that's what Hebrews says. Let's read it. Go. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to love and... Yeah, everything about the good news should motivate one another to love and good deeds. Let's read this next scripture out of Romans 10. Go. How can they believe in him if they have not heard his message? And how can they hear if no one tells the good news? Do you understand how powerful that is? Do you know the word gospel means good news? In Greek, it's euangelion, which means good news. We translate it gospel. The gospel is good news. It stirs and motivates one another to love and good works. And how will anybody believe unless someone tells them the good news? Yeah, not bad news, good news. Not bad news about their sin, good news about Christ. Yeah, we got sin, we mess up, but there's hope. There's redemption. There's good news. Now, some people might reject that, but we still get to tell them the good news. That's the truth. That's why I said we're not truth boxers, we're truth bearers. Because that's the good news. That's what sets people free. So tell the good news. And when you do, keep it good news. So write down number two, be a permission giver. Oh, be a permission giver. If we don't give permission for people to speak about God, who's going to? Well, where do we start? Start with your family. Start with your own family, with your spouse. Give your spouse permission to love God. Children, give your parents permission to love God. If they're trying their best to lead biblically, because the Bible says, don't fight against them, because then it makes it hard for them to try and parent you biblically. They're doing their best. Give them permission to love God and live for God. Because if we're not, and if we're demeaning them, just like the society is, it's an uphill climb, isn't it, for everybody? But the angel says, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Well, who's going to bear that news? How will they know unless someone tells them the good news? Who's that? Us. That's exactly what Deuteronomy 6 says. Start with your family. Let's read it here. Go. And these commandments I am teaching you today, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you... Now, you got to work really hard to keep the good news, good news. It's not easy. I've got to watch my anger. I've got to watch my heart to make sure the good news comes out good news. Even with my children. Because you punish out of anger, but you discipline out of love. See, what happens is anger focuses on a past misdeed. Whereas love focuses on future character. Anger or punishment is based on a past misdeed, and punishment is motivated out of anger. Whereas love is different. Discipline is motivated out of love, and it focuses on future character. So, because sometimes when you love, you've got to discipline. For example, my son Aaron, some years ago when Anna was, he was in the cart, you know, and she was shopping. And so he's pretty sneaky and in those days. And she went by some candy racks, and he just reached out and started stuffing candy when she was looking for some stuff over here. He, whoop, whoop, just this kleptomaniac. And he's got M&Ms in one pocket, Baby Ruth in the next. Well, she goes to check out, pays for it. She's walking out, and he's eating M&Ms. She said, "Where did you get that?" "Oh, I had it in my pocket." Lies to her, so he steals, and now he's lying. This happened last year. And then when she empties his pockets and takes him back in to return it and then pay for the open M&Ms, he got mad at her. So when she came home, she said, "Honey, you're going to have to take care of this." And I thought, oh, strike three, you're out, boy. So I marched into his room, and he was waiting there, and I said, "Daddy's going to spank you." He said, "No, no, I won't ever do it again." I said, "I know you won't. That's why I'm going to help you." And he said, "Well, why are you doing this?" I said, "Well, it's not because you struck out three times. That's part of it. But the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And Aaron, I want that which is bound up in your heart, that you think you can disrespect people that God puts in authority over you, disrespect what you know is right, and then get mad when they're trying to help. If that's bound up in your heart and Dad doesn't discipline you, it's going to come up in the future in other ways. Your disrespect for authority, making excuses, and getting mad when you're corrected. It'll come out in subtle ways, but it'll still be there. It's bound up in your heart. Dad's going to discipline you." And so, whack, 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 and while he's crying, I sat with him and I prayed for him. And then I put on a song that I had found and prepared and brought it in. And it was a song that talked about King David. And one line in it says, "When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life is filled with ordinary things, in just a moment, he can touch you and everything will change. When others just see a shepherd boy, God may see a king." And I said, "You see, God sees something good in you, but you don't. And Dad will not allow that to remain and destroy God's future for you. You have to work really hard to keep the good news, otherwise your anger will get involved and you can ruin something that would be good. So start with your family. Give each, I'm not saying it'll be absent of discipline with children, but within there can be good news. Give your wife permission. Give your husband permission to talk about God, to pray. When your wife says, "Let's pray," don't roll your eyes. Oh. You're stealing permission, just like the world and the devil does. Give each other permission, because if we don't right here, who is? Nobody. And so we are the last bastion of hope. So be a permission giver. Be a permission giver. And then it just flows to others. I was coming back from Kona this week, and Aaron, my son, was with me, and Jeff Weinkauf, and we were coming as we're working on New Hope Legacy in Kona, and we came through the Honolulu International. And you know, when you go out through the doors, there's a TSA person waiting there to make sure when you go out, you don't come back in. So she was sitting there just kind of dozing off, and I thought, I'm going to make her day. So I walked by. I said, "God bless you. Merry Christmas." She said, "Oh, Merry Christmas." She ran, opened the door. I thought, wow, what a change. I said, "Merry Christmas." She said, "Yes, Merry in Christ." I said, "Yeah. Well, that was cool." I thought, giving her permission to speak about God. And it includes Christ at Christmas. So I'm walking out and Aaron says, Dad, she's a Catholic, you know. I said, what? She's a Catholic. So I said, so? Well, how do you tell? He said, she said, when you said Merry Christmas, she said, Merry Christ. Like the mother of Christ and Christ. I said, oh, no. She just said, Mary and Christ. I said, no, Dad. She said, Mary, the mother, and Christ. She's Catholic. I said, no. If she were Catholic, she wouldn't say Mary and Christ. She'd say Mary and Christ. I know. Because I was. Don't be afraid, number three. Don't be afraid to go first when setting the culture. I didn't want to wait for the TSA person to say anything. Go first. Don't be afraid. Go first. Let's read Romans 1:16. Read it with me. Go. I am not ashamed of the... It is God's power to save everyone who believes. Here it is. God's approval is revealed in this... Did you get that? God's approval is what? Revealed in good news. God's approval. Everybody is waiting for God's approval. Everybody wants God's approval. And it says it's going to be revealed in the good news. You see, we've got to give permission to people to be candid about God, to say that this is good news. God's answering prayer. God's a part of our family. Let's pray. Let's ask God, Jesus, what do you think? Because your opinion's more important than anyone's. And it gives people permission to look around, realizing that we are in the presence of Christ, you see? Because if we don't give permission for that, if we don't share the good news, who is? That's the gospel. When I was a youth pastor, I would go to high schools and where my youth kids were, and I'd have lunch with them. And they would ask me a question about the Bible, and some of the kids would huddle around. I'd always carry a pocket Bible with me, and so I'd look up stuff in the pocket Bible, and I'll say, you know, well, it says this here. Well, the bell rang, and our kids went back to class, and there was a teacher leaning up against the wall by the exit door. And when I walked by, he said, see you later, Mr. Gospel, with kind of a cynical little twist, you know. And I walked out and I said, my name is Wayne, not Mr. Gospel. And I was walking to my car. I said, my name is Wayne, not Mr. Gospel. What does he think he is, Mr. Dodo? I said, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. I got in my car. I said, God, my name is Wayne, not Mr. Gospel. Why does he say that? And it was like God came right into the car and said, shut up. We talk like that, you know. No. He said, don't be grumbling. Well, my name is Wayne. And then he just spoke this to me. You know how God can communicate something to you in a nanosecond? Now, I'm going to unpack it into a conversation, but it really was just a realization that went, bing, got it. But let me unpack it for you. Here's what God said. Wayne, what else would you rather be identified than that which brings eternal life to mankind? What other name would you rather be identified that brings redemption to those on their way to hell? What other name would you rather be identified than with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who came to bring this message to mankind? Any other name than that? And then I thought, oh, sorry. And then I thought, there is no greater joy than to be identified with the good news. We get to be permission givers. And when we do, people say, that's good news. That's good news. Basically, what I'm saying is, you make sure that people feel free, the permission to candidly talk about God, candidly praise God, candidly share about how their prayers have been answered. Can you develop that culture where that happens, or do we squash it like everyone else? So you see, this is the church. The church is to be permission givers, going first. I was on the other side coming to Honolulu from Kona, and there was a couple, wonderful couple behind us in the TSA line, and the lady said, "We listen to you on the radio each week." And I said, "Oh, that's neat." And met her husband, and we were walking through the line, and I noticed he was walking a little slowly. So as we got on the other side, I said, "Where are you going?" I asked this gentleman, and dear man, and he said, "I'm going to Queen's Hospital." I said, "Oh, for what?" He said, "Well, I don't have feeling in my hands or my feet, and it's hard for me to walk and to operate my limbs, and they've taken a lot of MRIs here, and they just can't find anything, so we're going to go and take some tests at Queen's." And without thinking, I said, "We got to pray for this." So I called my son and Jeff over, and I said, "Let's lay hands on him, and let's pray." And so I began praying for him, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of my prayer, I thought, "Oh, we're in the middle of a terminal, and people are walking by. This is not church." And the Lord said, "Keep right on praying, because you don't know how many people you're giving permission to. You're emboldening them to live out their faith. You give permission. You give permission, because for them it's good news. It's good news." Just think how many people walked by and they were saying, "You know, I'm a Christian, but I don't do that. It's time I do that. I need to do that." And you see, we got to be a church that gives permission. Amen?
Amen.
Giving permission to people. And we're given the good news. The good news of the gospel. Let's read what this last scripture says. Would you read it with me? Go. "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you." Here's the best gift you can give this year. It won't be under the tree. But you can give this gift. It's called give permission. Give permission to your wife, your daughter, your son to love God more. Help them, encourage them. Children, give your parents permission to live biblically, to try and lead biblically. And if we will do that, it will change the culture of everything. We will be a people of the gospel. Let me finish with this, how my brother, his name is Jerome, he's an electrical contractor, gave me permission to get back to Jesus when I was veering. Several years ago when we were in Hilo, Anna and I were having some, like a cold war. You know how that happens? You just don't quite speak to one another. It wasn't my fault. And right in the midst of that ice age, right in the middle of this ice age, my brother and his wife Edie came to visit us. Well, they're staying with us. And the next morning, my brother and I went to breakfast, and I was sharing with them how things are a little icy right now. And my brother nodded, and he said, "You know, Wayne, when that happens to Edie and me, you know what I do?" I said, "What?" He says, "You know, I just take her hand, and we go to our knees, and we pray with our hands together." Because you see, the problem isn't the problem. The problem is the wedge. And the real problem is the devil wants to do this to you guys. If you do this, the problem sort of disappears. It's not even important anymore. But this becomes the problem. So I take hold of her hand, I kneel down, and we pray. And as he's saying this, my heart is burning within me like, whoa, that's what I gotta do. But in my voice, I go, yeah, that's good, yeah. I'm the preacher, you're the electrical contractor. I'll let you know when I need some help. Well, I went home, and they left, got on the plane, and that night, Anna and I went to bed. She's on one side, I'm way on the other side. Right on the edge, both of us, teeter-tottering. She says, "Good night." "Yeah." We turn over our backs to each other, you know. And then God just kept burning that in my heart. Take a hold of her hand. Yeah. Take a hold of her hand. I fought with this for about 45 minutes. Finally, I said, "Honey, you still awake?" She said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "Would you take a hold of my hand and we pray?" She said, "I would love to." So we both got on our knees. And we began to pray. And you could just feel something change in the house. And in the middle of our prayer, our smoke alarm goes off. Figure that. Have you ever tried to turn one of those things off? There's no on-off button. I don't know how to turn it off except pull the battery out. And then there's this chip in there that keeps beeping. You have to bust it. Now, I smash this thing, and Anna is laughing in the bedroom, laughing and laughing. So I walk in there and say, "What are you laughing about? I got to buy a new smoke alarm now." She's laughing and laughing. I said, "What are you laughing about?" She says, "Honey, when we got on our knees to pray and held hands, the devil was so intimidated, he screamed out of the house, and when he did, he smoked." I thought, amen to that. You see, what my brother did was he shared in a good news way the answer. He gave me permission to get back to Jesus. If we don't give permission to one another, who is going to? If we just say, "Don't give me that permission," if we reject it, or if we just don't share what God is sharing with us, what's going to happen to the culture of the church, the bride of Christ? It erodes. So, this Christmas, here's the request. Give permission to one another. Do not be afraid, for you have good news of great joy, which is for all people. There's no better Christmas gift than that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.